Welcome to All Things Madison, the podcast exclusively for kids. Sure to tickle your funny bone while learning something new at the same time. You'll hear from talking bears.
Why that is such a big deal, I'll never know.
Laughing unicorns.
You guys are so funny.
Farting sloths.
Hey, watch it. I'm lactose intolerant. I'm only gassy when I drink milk.
Yeah, we're part of the show too. Even the folks in the dollhouse have a part.
Bonjour.
Hi.
Hey guys.
Hi y'all.
Hello. Don't forget about the rest of us.
Here's your host, Madison Lauren. Please enjoy the show.
Hey friends, welcome to my show. Well, technically my bedroom, but you know what I mean. Anyways, you might be wondering why it's called All Things Madison. Well, because I'm Madison, and it's about all the things I like. Like, I love all my stuffed animals and dolls, and I thought you should meet them. And of course, then there's my fave, Princess the Unicorn.
Oh, Madison, you're my favorite too.
You probably noticed that Princess is the inspiration behind my unicorn logo. Yep, that's her, my friend. And I like cooking my dad, creating new characters like my chimneys, who eat worms, talk in their own language, and fight with some very territorial birds. See? And I love learning new stuff and the latest funny TikToks. I also really enjoyed writing my new graphic novel, The Magnificent She-Ra's. So, what's the show about? Funny skits and segments, cool interviews, and behind the scenes, but mostly just trying to make kids and their parents laugh all while learning something new.
That's right.
Oh, hey, Daddy. I was just about to tell them that it's overall fun stuff for kids of all ages.
And families.
I also talk about the heavy stuff sometimes too, like ocean pollution, climate change, or deforestation. Cause it's gonna be up to us to fix it.
But keep it fun.
Right, now on to the show.
Miss Sarah, thank you for taking the time to come on my show.
I'm so happy to be here. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I know you're a busy lady, so let's begin. After reading your bio, I learned you got a late start in your career as a writer, but you've had lots of successes along the way, and you've had many jobs that had nothing to do with writing at all. My first question is, I know it was on a dare, but how did you find courage to do something so different?
So sometimes a dare feels wrong, and sometimes a dare feels like just what you want to hear. And I remember when I was a physical therapist and teaching exercise classes way back in the year 2000. And when someone dared me to write, it just stuck in my head. And I thought, that sounds like a really good idea. And I went home and Rebecca was reading Esperanza Rising and Elliot was reading a book called Benicula for about the 100th time. And I thought to myself, I really love reading those books, and I'm going to try writing those books. Now, having courage is a big question, because it's not like I quit my job and said, I'm going to bet the bank on becoming a writer. I didn't do that at all. I kept working, and I thought about writing every single night when I had free time. I read a lot of books. And then when I didn't get success right away, I went to school. So that gave me courage too. And what I found was that when I felt most honest and most excited about what I was writing, it didn't feel that brave. It just felt fun and exciting. And I just kept doing it. And now I help other people do that, write their stories. I think everyone has a story to write, and that I'm excited to help other people write theirs and to continue to write mine.
That's really good.
Thanks.
Second, how does your childhood or background experience influence your writing?
So how do I get ideas? Sometimes I get ideas from my imagination, but a lot of times I get ideas from my memories. And so I was the oldest daughter of three in my family. I have two younger sisters. And I know that having sisters and all being together a lot is a lot of what I write about. When I think about why I wrote the wish list, a lot of it is because of my sister Miriam, who was really good at lots of things, and I wasn't. And sometimes it got annoying. I'm sure you don't know what that feels like to be annoyed by a brother or sister. And so those feelings go into my stories a lot. I also think about religion, being Jewish, that being the only Jewish person in a town where most people celebrated Christmas made me feel different. And that otherness, that feeling separate from other kids, is something that I think about a lot. I also think that because of that, I watched a lot and saw a lot about how kids play together and talk to each other. And maybe that has helped me to become a writer. My mom would tell you that I've always been a writer. This is one of my first journals. You can see that I've been writing since I was about 7 years old. This is my first story. It's called Little Mew. It's about a cat that plays basketball. I was really excited to have a pen name, so I called myself Gaga. I know. Sometimes my kids call me Old Lady Gaga.
No, that would be weird. That's funny.
Thanks.
With the Wishlist book series, Isabel, the main character, is trained to become a fairy godmother, but things happen to prevent her from succeeding. I thought this was such a clever idea, and I can definitely relate to the whole spark of thing. I think all girls like to shine.
So I know, I think girls like to shine too, and I love sparkles. See, I'm wearing a lot of sparkles today. I loved the idea of sparkle power because it was sort of like chemistry, that how the fairy godmothers play and make magic with sparkles is a lot like making chemistry in a laboratory. And so I wanted to think about science and research in terms of sparkles. So everything, my husband is a scientist, and everything that is in the book, that are in the books, are actually science. They're the way that the sparkles come together is like the way elements come together in the science lab. And everybody is really safe because he's a safety specialist.
Wow, that's cool.
It's fun. The things that really inspired me to write these books were also Cinderella. Like, I love Cinderella. I loved Cinderella when I was a kid. And I loved pretending to be the fairy godmother because she was the one with all the power. And basically, I liked bossing my sisters around.
Really? So
I would boss them around and make and grant their wishes. So, but then I thought about that the fairy godmother in Cinderella, what does she do? I mean, she makes a cool coach out of a pumpkin, and she makes pretty clothes. But today, kids have problems that are bigger than that. So that's how I decided to send the fairy godmothers to school.
Love it. How did you come up with such an original character for a traditional story?
So let's go back to that stuff about memories. And my sister, who was really good at everything, but I wasn't, I had a hard time in school. I had a hard time listening and sitting still and paying attention and following the rules. All of that stuff was really hard for me when I was a kid. And so when it came to Isabel, I wanted to write about a girl who wanted to be a fairy godmother, but who had problems in school. And she had to overcome her challenges to become a great fairy godmother. And Nora, who is the girl who she's going to grant wishes for, she has some of the problems I had too. Sometimes she's a little bossy. And so all of those things went into these books from memories and from feelings from when I was a kid.
Well, next question. It seems we both share love for cooking. My dad has been teaching me to cook for years now. This might be a different kind of question for you, but what is your favorite dish to make and why?
I love this question. I love cooking, especially when I'm writing a new draft, because I feel very creative. And cooking is sort of like writing a book. You put lots of different ingredients into the pan, and you think you know how they're going to turn out, but sometimes the ingredients surprise you, just the way sometimes characters surprise you. So I love cooking. I like making spaghetti sauce. I like making Asian food, especially seafood stew that's very spicy, which I always make on when I reach my 100th page of a new book. I call it a 100-page party. I think if you Google it, you can actually find it online. I've posted it a bunch of times. And I like to work on my favorite foods that I eat in restaurants and test my palate. And it's sort of like listening to voices of characters that I want to experiment and see how much fun I can have. Tomorrow, I'm going to try bread. I've never made bread before. Have you ever made bread?
I've made bread many times.
You have? So I'm going to try it for the first time tomorrow. I'm excited.
Sounds fun. Last question. With all that's going on in the world at this moment, what words of inspiration would you like to leave with my young listeners?
So number one, I think the words of inspiration that I want to leave for you and for anyone listening is to be easy on yourself. It's okay to make mistakes. Failure is a step in the process towards success. My newest book, Just Like Rube Goldberg, is all about that, about a man who was really alive and who drew comics. And in those comics, he often drew these chain reactions of crazy machines. And sometimes kids make these chain reaction machines. I think that failure is important. I think we have to be easy on ourselves. I think we have to be willing to try everything and to be super kind and listen to each other. When we listen to each other, we learn, we grow, we're kinder, we're nicer, we find out stuff. I think if we can all do that, when we can all be together again, we're gonna be really much better off.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I mean, look at us. Here we are talking, and it's really nice to get to know you.
Thank you. Miss Sarah, I really appreciate you coming on my show.
I am so grateful that you invited me. And again, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And keep writing and keep reading.
Because I
want to read your story.
You do?
I do. Will you send it to me when you're done?
Yes.
Excellent.
Please keep us in the know whenever your next book comes out. And don't be a stranger. Bye.
Bye.
That wraps up this episode of our show. Each week, we hope to bring something different, new, and exciting with a few laughs along the way. You'll see these segments along with others, but I'll jump into the kitchen to teach you some of my favorite recipes. Or you'll see me talk to kids at different events around the city. Or maybe stuff dealing with fashion, sneaker culture, or other kids' influences. Either way, I'll always keep it spicy. So be sure to give me a like, follow, or subscribe to keep up with us. To pre-order my new book, The Magnificent Sheroes, just go to shopmadisonlauren.com. Oh yeah, and you'll find all my merch there too. Remember, we love you just the way you are. Until next time, I'm out.
Oh, And introducing The Fantastical Adventures of Sleepy Steve by My Dad, the animated series, coming to a screen near you soon.
He's back.
They call me S-L-E-E-P-Y, Steve. I kind of got the boys and girls in need.
Get ready for the return of the funniest kid alive with The Fantastical Adventures of Sleepy Steve.
S-L-E-E-P-Y, Steve.
And now he's animated.
Cool. Where are we going?
As we discovered, Steve's notorious sleep disorder isn't what it seems. Steve must find out as much as he can about his new power. How does he control it? What are his limits? And most of all, can he stop the mysterious evil villain Ratface with powers he hasn't mastered yet? Stay up to date on the launch of the coolest cartoon series coming to a screen near you.
Thank you for listening to All Things Madison. Kindly take a moment to subscribe, leave a comment, and rate the show so that our participating partners know you are following along. You can get your Madison Lauren graphic tees at shopmadisonlauren.com or follow her YouTube channel at All Things Madison. This production was brought to you by Infinity Global Media Group, LLC. Contact us at smith.durante@gmail.com for bookings or more information.